everybody. This is Lisa Henderson from the Call That Girl Show. And this week we have a dual podcast with Mr. That's, Marvin B. Welcome, Marvin.
Nice. Hello, everyone. And Marvin B. here with Pod Nuts Pro.
Do you imagine us doing a show together?
Yeah.
That's kind of fun. This is my 93rd show. And if you want to check out my past shows and notes, you can go to callthatgirl.com and click on the top there. Marvin, where can people check out your shows?
Well, you can find our show over at podnuts.com. And I have no idea what number we're on because we've got a bunch of shows in production right now. So we'll see how.
I don't even know if the number matters, really.
Not for us. It's just as long as it's timely.
Right. Yeah, you got to keep the shows consistent. I've learned that. And me and Marvin and I were just talking about the difference of our shows and how he does them and how I do them. And it's kind of interesting because he's been doing a show with, what'd you say, Marvin? Just stories?
Well, yeah, the original Podnuts Pro was basically story time with Matt Rainey. And then we added Martin Obando and the three of us. And now it's just me. And we've kind of moved into another segment where we're adding vendor interviews. And we will be keeping story time. We'll have a tip show every now and then. We're going to basically do a mix and match of shows that hopefully will reach all of the solo techs, small businesses, small MSPs, and help us all get our business better.
All right. That's what I learned too, but I was just telling you that I got into too many topics. Now I want to do stories and interviews. So to my listeners, I'm going to be shaking it up a bit too here and kind of doing what Marvin's doing is you have a little format. So this is maybe a good break of both of us from what we were doing.
Yep, sure is.
Nice little cutoff. Well, for those listening on the Podnuts Pro, I'm Lisa Henderson. I own callthatgirl.biz. I'm an Outlook expert and Office 365 consultant. And Marvin, what do you do?
So I have a business here in South Florida, MB Systems, and I am, for the most part, your on-site network specialist. And I do network support for small business. And we pretty much focus on law firms primarily. And I do everything from the break fix to the managed services. So,
and for those that don't know, I met Marvin when I lived down in Florida 3 years ago.
Yes.
And then, funny enough, did I know you were going to the ABA Tech Show?
No, you didn't.
And I ran into him in Chicago. And I'm like, Marvin, what are you doing here?
I just popped around the corner and saw you and said, hey.
We caught up real quick. And so the interesting thing about law firms is that they have a special set of support they need with all of their, you could probably talk about it more, but I do law firms too, but just on a very small scale.
Well, I do law firms from the networking side. Most of my law firms actually have their own software consultant.
Yeah.
Or for their, you know, case management software, their billing software. So I usually work with the consultants, but most of the time I end up taking over the entire network infrastructure. And it's worked out really good doing that.
Yeah, most of my firms are already, they're independent using POP or IMAP. And sometimes AOL.
AOL. I still have a couple of people there.
Oh, I know. And sometimes when I get a law firm that has AOL or Yahoo, and I just am like, is this going to be a hard sell to get them on Exchange? And of course, we're going to talk a lot about Office 365 today, probably. But to me, that's sometimes a no joy. Like, they don't want to change nothing.
Well, what's funny is I have people that have changed, but they will keep their AOL just because they're so afraid that they're going to miss something, that somebody's had that email address for 15, 20 years. And I'm like, okay, well, they can change your email address in their contacts.
No, they can't.
So
what if something happens and they miss that one email?
That's true. So I have several people that have migrated either to Exchange or Office 365, but they'll keep their original AOL address. And you know what? What do I care? They've moved over to Office 365 for their business, and that's what matters.
Right. Most of my clients, they have an AOL email in their Outlook underneath their business one, and they go back and forth all day. So AOL actually doesn't even break that much with IMAP, surprisingly. That's not one of my main calls, so I don't really mind. It sets up pretty good.
Yeah. AOL's not bad. Bell South is bad.
No. Well, the Bell South, anything with Verizon and AT&T is bad. Bad.
That's all the umbrella. AT&T, Yahoo, Verizon, who else?
That's right. I think there was another company that I got triggered into that circle too. Yeah. I don't know. I still do a lot of those setups though, Marvin. And for my day-to-day stuff, it's typically Outlook break fix, and then I take it to Exchange. And you don't probably know this, but I've stopped, for the most part, doing migration work.
Well, you know what's funny is I listen to your show every now and then, so don't think I don't keep up. And my first question here is, no more migrations?
Well, I keep getting sometimes caught into one, but it's always an accident. Like, it's while I'm fixing, I'm like, let's just move it to Exchange because of this. And every time I do it, I am always like, why was the last one not my last one? Because I swear, I always have a big snag now, and it's always something with Outlook or a server, DNS, auto discover record, or something.
Yep, yep.
I get so ticked off, and I always swear it's the last one. So, like, for example, today I didn't even do an Exchange migration. I did an iCloud to Outlook.com migration for a client.
What?
Stupidest migration ever.
Why in the world would you have to do that?
Because for 4 years I've been fixing her iCloud that constantly breaks. So I thought moving her to Outlook 2016 would fix that. Nope, still breaks.
Really?
So I said, let's take the time and put you on Outlook.com, which is like a better version of Outlook or iCloud. And we had it working, and she did something or something happened, and the calendar got corrupted, and it wouldn't work on the iPhone at all.
Hmm.
So after an hour, I was like, you know what? Screw this. We'll put back the iCloud. And I couldn't even bill her for all that time because I don't do that to people.
Well, that's got to be frustrating, which is why I don't do iCloud.
I know. And you know what? I just put on the Facebook group this story, and everybody's like, you said you weren't going to do these anymore. I'm like, I know. I get wrangled in. I don't mean to. Trust me. But back to the migration thing is, which I want to talk to you about, by the way, is, you know, I had to get out of them because they're too frustrating. I have better billable calls I do, and I'm not hurting. I don't need those few, right?
Right, right. Well, I heard that you're doing partnerships. You've got two migration partners that you can still at least be involved in it. But, I mean, granted, migrations are frustrating, and I just went through one a couple of months ago that I almost shot the owner. Yeah, of the business because of some stuff, but
time to get off the heavy artillery.
Right. Let me rephrase that. I was a little upset with the owner.
Right. Well, there's a lot of things I've thought of too, and it is frustrating. So go ahead.
So, but you know, in terms of you, I mean, that was your bread and butter for so long doing those migrations. And it sounded like you had a system down. And of course, there's always going to be the snags. But, you know, I wasn't really going to focus on that. But I was really going to ask you is how has it been working with partners in those migrations, especially if they're your customer or you're doing the initial sale and then you do a handoff to somebody else to actually do the work? How has that been?
Well, I've only done a couple. And I'm just saying that each one is a test. So the one guy, Adam, down in Iowa, he's on his second one right now. And the first one, they had DNS issues. So under his migration billing, he handles that now. I don't have to, you know. So Adam does the jobs like 1 to 15 people or 1 to 10 or something. Then there's this other guy that handles the bigger ones, and he's got the 5 people on his team. And they have different bill rates. So I do have a commission on that, so I earn. So what I learned was I'm still involved in every aspect of this for some reason. I don't know why, because they want me to do something. Like at the last one, I had to find a SharePoint migration specialist.
Right.
Because there was a GoDaddy cutover and they had to get the SharePoint migrated. So I'm still playing liaison. Communications director maybe is a good word, or
project manager. Yep.
Yeah. So what I've learned from these two is that I'm going to start securing a prepaid ticket on file before the migration so I can bill for the time I'm playing email coordinator.
Okay.
And this is from what I learned today, because I had a meeting with the migration company. I don't have any money on the books yet. So I'm like, well, why am I involved yet? They haven't even signed up for the migration and I'm still doing work. So I need to stop, get that secured first, that they're going to have me as a project manager. And what I will do is cover onboarding, aftercare, and ongoing support. Okay. Does that make sense?
Yep, sure does.
So then I'm secured in and I sell them, depends on the company, a 4-hour ticket or an 8-hour ticket. But this company today was an 8-hour, but it's still not in my hands, Marvin. So I'm like, what if they say no to that and then I'm helping? So that's what I have to do, which I don't mind playing the project manager because I know all the little things.
Right.
I've done hundreds of them. So that's where I like being. But yeah, you know what was interesting is, I don't know if you caught it on the show, but my financials have been down, but my stress level is a lot better.
You can't ever discount the stress level, just the fact of being happy. But you, here's the thing with that. Once you get that stress level down and you get your calm, it'll start to come back. And yeah. Either it'll come back and you'll be, you know, able to do those again, or you'll find another revenue stream that will cover, you know, that you don't want to say loss, you know, in a sense, but you just find a new revenue stream.
Shifting.
Yeah.
Yeah. And not that this is part of it, but I've been telling the folks on my show that I'm opening up the SEO and marketing. And last night I just sold my first SEO MSP plan.
Oh.
$2,500 for a year. So I sealed that deal, got the money in the bank, started the project for 2018. Now that's $2,500 that I don't have to do of migration work. I get to do something else I like. So the shift I'm trying to make is to do less migration work that's less stressful for me to do things I enjoy.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, getting back to the migration stuff, I just need to get rid of the onesie twosies next. Then I'm good.
Ah, the onesie twosies.
Well, it's just a quick one. And that's what always catches me. It's those one quick ones, you know? And so I got to just farm them all out now. Just say no. 100%. So what are you doing for migration? Are you doing them all by yourself or you got a team?
Nope, still just me. And for the most part, usually it's easy because they're existing customers.
Right.
And I pretty much already have everything I need from them. I'm in control of the DNS.
Right.
I know all the mailboxes. I know all the quirks. And for the most part, I've got the system pretty much down.
Right. Well, so, you have the server. You manage their servers. You can push out the new profiles. You can do all that, right?
Yep, that's true. Most of the time, it's an on-premise exchange to 365 migration. So a lot of that stuff is, you know, I don't want to say automated, but I'm using the tools.
Yeah. Right.
And that, you know, if you plan it right, you know, you can do most of it with, you know, one person. I did bring in a tech to assist on the last project because it ended up being almost 70 mailboxes.
Wow, and that's a big one.
It wasn't the migration part that was bad. It was just most of the issues for this customer. First of all, let me rephrase that. It wasn't all 70 mailbox migrations. It was only about 20 that got migrated. This is a customer that I manage their network, and they've only got, you know, actually it's about 19 users in-house on desktops. Yeah. Well, when we decided to, when they wanted to go to Office 365, that's what I did the quote on. And it was those 19 people, and we'll get them set up, and I had their exchange. So as we're getting ready to do stuff, they all of a sudden send me this list. They're like, well, we forgot. We want to put all of our technicians on email as well.
That happened to me.
And it was like 50 technicians. And I'm like, are you kidding? So I only had to migrate the 20 mailboxes, but then we had to walk through 50 people on how to set up their phones. And I, you know, there, of course, there's the mix of the iPhone and the Samsung and the BlackBerry and this and that. And so I had to, you know, have one of my guys just be available the Monday after the migration.
All right.
Just to, you know, walk people through, because trust me, it doesn't matter how much preparation you do ahead of time. It doesn't matter how nice and pretty you make the instruction flyer. Somebody's going to screw it up.
Well, yeah, the word seamless doesn't exist because of stuff like that. I love that they forgot about 50 mailboxes. That happened to me once. They forgot 85 franchises. The day of the migration, people are like, where's our email? And the guy's like, what do you mean? 85 mailboxes got forgotten. So we did a PowerShell quick quick flip.
Right.
One of my guys that was doing the PowerShell work got it done in 2 hours. Nice. Created 85 mailboxes, lickety split.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it was, that was fun. That was just, that was one of those things where, you know, you'd go through the preparation and here's the thing. You would think that when they realize how much it costs per mailbox and they're going through all the initial, can we afford it? Do we really need it? If you're doing that for 20 people, but you want to add another 50, you know, at, you know, if you're just doing the mailbox by itself, you're talking $5 a person.
Right.
Wouldn't you think you'd plan for that kind of expense?
Yeah, that just tripled their budget almost with that.
So that was fun. But that was one where, I you know, for you wanting to kind of slide out of the migrations, this was one where I kind of, right in the middle of it, I thought, oh, now I understand why this is frustrating. Because, you know, I used the tools and I've been using the tools for a while and I hope, you know what, I'm going to say it. What are they going to do, sue me? So BitTitan is the tool that I had been using. That
migration whiz.
Migration whiz. And I had loved it. And I had known to kind of stay away from the Deployment Pro.
Oh, yeah, that's a horrible tool.
Because of the issues they've had. And so I'm like, you know what? I'll just use the Migration Whiz and I'll do everything else. So somehow I realized I hadn't been to BitTitan in a while. And so when I went in there,
the MSP complete all messed up. MSP
complete.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what's this?
Yeah, I know.
They had the thing. You got to do this. You got to do this. And I'm like, all right, well, if this is going to work, boom, 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 boom. Well, I get halfway through the checklist and start to do the migration on the Exchange server. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, this is Friday night, 8 o'clock. I've got to start moving mailboxes. And this isn't working. And I don't have time to be getting on the phone at that time. So
they don't answer anyway.
Yeah. So I'm like, what the? So I ended up basically going back to a manual process, but I went back to code 2 backup.
Really?
Where I could at least grab all the mail and contacts and everything and have those push up to the tenant housing for Office 365.
Wow. That's some creative thinking there, Marvin.
Well, you know what? You got to have a backup plan.
Yeah.
I mean, because...
No, mine would have been... Isn't there... Office 365 has a migration tool in it?
They do, but I've not used it.
I know, it's scary.
And, you know, I was already going down the path of using something that I thought I would be at least a little familiar with.
Yeah.
But I knew that, okay, if this doesn't work, I know that I can go over to the Code 2 365 backup. Right. I know that product. I had just finished using it a couple weeks before. I knew it worked. A little bit more work for me, but I was able to get it done. And for the most part, it didn't really cost me that much more in money. You know, I just had to buy the licenses for the mailbox backup. And I had built in enough of a buffer in my project cost that, you know, it didn't kill me where I didn't lose money on it. So.
Well, you know what that BitTitan has done to that poor product? I didn't use Migration Whiz for a while. And then when I logged in, I was totally confused for like a half hour. And then finally, when I found my project area, get this. I made it a bookmark in my Chrome, right. So I can go right to it now. Yeah. And now I can actually do a project, you know, but honestly, the MSP complete, I don't know who they're trying to sell that to, but not people like us.
Well, it's, I mean, I understand the concept. If you're dealing with an enterprise migration and you've got the tools and the team in place that can go through and do all of that pre-set preparation and stuff, but you know, for the smaller projects, it's not worth it.
No. Well, how about that Skykick? Have you tried that?
No.
Well, that's kind of expensive probably for you. I mean, I would bet, but it's $30 a mailbox. And then get this, I hear they do everything.
That is true. But here's the thing, Lisa. I mean, we haven't really talked in a while, but you know me. I don't change tools that often.
Right.
I find stuff that works, stuff I like. And until somebody screws it up, or shows me that something is going to be that much better and I can see it in action, I'm not just in a switch. I've known about Skykick.
Yeah.
And yes, it's supposed to do everything, but I haven't done a migration that has been of a size where I needed that.
Right.
And, you know,
I don't know if I trust it, to be honest with you. I've never used it, but one of my teams does, and they know it very well.
Right.
But that's how they can get their migration costs down for me to not resell it, but for me to refer.
Mm-hmm.
My costs were $250 a mailbox after the $350 first mailbox, and people were starting to say no to it. And I'm like, well, if you knew what pain I had to go through, that's why I charged so much.
Right.
No one ever got off easy by not paying me enough. Let's put it that way. Like, they felt like they were so quick that they got, you know, they overpaid.
Right.
Never. But now I've only done 3 outsourced ones because honestly, Marvin, I quit trying to sell it. That's what part of my problem is. So once I can get to, I feel confident selling it again, more sales will be coming in for those probably. Right. But one guy does them by hand, my other team. And guess what? He learned from the master. Me.
The hand.
He bought all my books.
He's a hand puppet for you.
What's that?
He's a hand puppet for you.
Well, honestly, the guy was a loyal follower online of all the years of my ebooks and such that when he finally was like, look, Lisa, I'm able to do this now. I was like, take it. And I trusted, you know, someone that's already read my books and stuff. So I know that they know I take extra special care.
Right.
The other company, I don't know them. They don't follow me at all. In fact, I don't think they even really like me. But, I mean, in a way.
Well, they like your business.
They're real business oriented.
Right.
That's what I should say. Not that they don't like me, but this other guy, like we could talk on the phone and have fun, you know, whatever. That's business. Yeah, totally different.
Right.
But well, they're real professional.
Well, when you're dealing with accounts that need a Skykick, I mean, that's yeah. really how it is. And,
yeah.
you know, if one of my two law firms ever decides to move, that may be something I look at because, yeah. you know, granted, migrating 200 mailboxes, I think I'll need a little help and process there.
Yeah. Well, how many migrations are you doing a year now?
I'm not doing that many. Remember, I don't have a lot of customers.
No.
So,
you
I mean,
got big ones.
They're
the big boys.
Yeah. But I still do, you know, 2 or 3 a year. I've actually talked to a customer today who, you know, it's only 11 users, but the owner of the business is at a point where apparently, without my knowledge, he's been trying to make his POP account work on his work computer and his iPhone and his laptop.
Oh, goodness. And he's trying to sync that?
And he's trying to sync them. And I'm like, okay, they don't sync. And he's like, yeah, I know, but somebody told me how to do this. So he actually went out and bought a personal Office 365 account and thought that he could hook up his business account to it and make it work. And I said, nope, can't do that. So
yeah, this is the Office 365 confusion, I call it.
Yep.
And speaking of confusion, I did a webinar today for an Office 365 law firm software called Practice Panther. And they, if you recall up at the ABA Tech Show, there's a lot of folks doing Office 365 now. So it's kind of like an add-on.
It is, yes.
Office. Yeah. So I've seen 3 different ones now. They all do cool stuff. It all depends on the users and how their mind is, you know, but the first thing is you got to teach the clients about Office 365 and what it does in the exchange. That webinar I did today was 1 hour and 15 minutes. I could have went on for hours trying to explain it.
It's
and that tough. Was just off a presentation I made.
Yeah. So here's the question I got today when the guy called me. He goes, so tell me the difference between Office 365 and Microsoft 365.
God. Oh, no. And you're like, how much time you got?
I just said, it's marketing.
Their marketing sucks.
Yeah.
Don't you wish they could have named Office 365 Home something else like Home Only?
Well, they should, because exactly what happened today is what people do. They'll go out and, yeah. you know, oh, I can buy this for $99 a year and I can set up 5 accounts and use it for my business. And then they get, you know, involved and then have an issue. And then it's like, no, you can't really do that.
I covered that all in this webinar today. This yeah. webinar I did was pretty good, I gotta say. I'm going to probably push it out there. But it's training these folks to stop buying the Best Buy off the box and thinking they can put it on all five of their computers for their office. And then they all think it's going to sync through OneDrive. Well, that's what one client thought. Well, isn't my Outlook sync through OneDrive? I hope not. I hope not, man.
Well, and the other part of that is they think, well, like this owner thought, well, he'll just do Office 365 for him and leave the rest of his office. And I said, so no, it's an all for one or an, you know, one for all type deal. You can't just move one email address out of your domain into Office 365. You got to move everybody.
But anyway, that happened to me with a guy in Florida down the Keys.
Yeah.
Just a couple months ago. I said, it's just you, right? Yep. Well, he forgot about four other people in the company. So when I went to go set up stuff or whatever, I looked in the GoDaddy and I found five other accounts. And I'm like, it's all or nothing. Oh, well, really, it's just my wife, my daughter. They just wanted business accounts. And I'm like, well, then do you really need to pay $8 a month for that? And he's like, no. So another learning lesson. Yep. You can never stop learning with this stuff.
You said the... I don't even know what to call that word. That's that should be one of the banned curse words.
Which one?
GoDaddy.
Oh, I call them the clowns now. The Clown Daddy Show. The Go Clowns, whatever. As long as I can add the word clown in there.
That, wow. I just.
I know. I actually put on my client agreement form, are you a client of GoDaddy? So I know what to expect going in. I also put on my client agreement form, is Gmail your email server? So now I know what to go in. Hmm. I actually added iCloud. Do you use iCloud? I had to get down to, I need to know as much about this appointment and everything about as possible. Absolutely. Where are they? What are they doing? What kind of horrifying stories are we going to have?
Absolutely.
So, you want to talk about that GoDaddy issue with their scrubbed down, half baked office?
Here's the thing. I've got one customer who has downsized so much. He used to have like 15 employees, and he keeps downsizing, and so now it's down to just him.
Oh wow, he's self-sized.
And here's what's so funny. He up until last year, He still had a server.
Oh God!
Because he didn't want to mess up his network, so I was maintaining a server and his station just so that he could keep his business going. Well, finally, he decided to move home, and I said, "Look, you don't need a server anymore." Yeah. So I finally got him on a local NAS. But one of the things he did a few years ago that I advised against, but at the same time, I also thought I probably won't have this customer much longer. Mm-hmm. So he had a website that was hosted by some regional hole in the wall dive company that I guess, I don't know if they were going out of business or the guy that was supporting him was leaving or something. And he decided to move his website to GoDaddy.
Was it from GeoCities?
No, it's some weird, easy CGI or something. It was a weird company. They're probably, I hope if they're around and they're listening, sorry, I don't mean to offend you, but he moved his website and then he wanted to get his email done. And since his website was on GoDaddy, I'm like, you know what? Just go ahead and get GoDaddy. You know, that way you don't have to call me. You're off the server. You know, Godspeed.
Goodbye.
So he calls me a few months ago, and apparently he's hired an employee again. And he said, so I need you to help me set up an email. I said, you know what? You're with GoDaddy. And rather than pay me to contact GoDaddy to do it, just call them, get the email set up. So he says, oh, okay, great. Everything was fine. Last week he calls me. For some reason, she got a new phone. She couldn't remember her password. And so I said, well, you have GoDaddy. Have them go in and change it. No, I'd rather have you do it. So I'm like, all right. So I need to get into the account. So I get in there. And of course, I forget that you can't just go to portal.office.com.
Yeah.
Because it's got to redirect you
to the GoDaddy front page.
Whatever. And then you got to get in there. And then you can't find anything. And then when you get to the place where it's reset password, boom, oh, you've got to log into the master account.
Yeah.
And it's
I've reset the master password by accident. I can't tell you how many times. And then they're locked out half the time.
It's just so frustrating, all the steps you have to go through. And I mean, there's their support, their system. I know that Danica Patrick was a big draw for them to get them up and going. But I don't know if they've got any sponsors that could come in and save them now. They are just...
They're drowning. This thing, I just happened to mention just slightly in... You're an ASCII, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought so. I just slightly mentioned it in like a second paragraph hidden at the bottom of the sentence about how I thought they could do a cutover because I had heard, right?
Right.
Three people email me and say, I've got clients waiting. And I said, well, let me go find out. And then just to let you know, I found out that it's going to be a long time until they let people do a seamless to CSP migration.
Yeah, I heard that on your show when you talked about that. Yeah. All I kept thinking is, oh, no, don't let people try that.
No. So here's the thing. This is the official word. I even have a recording of me bitching out the GoDaddy guy, which I feel kind of bad now about a little. Not really. They are on their own. What's a big word for it? Federation level?
Yeah, they are on their own CSP thing, right? Where they, I mean, it's them. You know, they don't have to abide by anybody else's standards.
No. So you have to, if you have to leave them, which there's 20 million reasons, which I already talked about in my last show, there's plenty of reasons why people have to leave. One is password issues with secured accounts. You can't put MFA on there. You can't do anything, you know,
right,
two-step. And so it's a full cutover, and that's where I always get the frustrations. That's why I leave it for the tech teams now, and they know how to do it. So I'm out. I don't have to call them for that anymore.
Yeah, that is a pain, having to back up Office 365 to go to Office 365.
Right, and to pay for a SharePoint migration team to do the SharePoint sites that people spent years customizing. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah, because the customizations don't transfer.
That's right. So guess what? I had to dig into, got a little thing here. I had to dig into my referral circles and go find a company that only did them and very affordably. The other quotes I got were really just too high for the average person. They were, one quote was $100 a gig. And that I just was like, I can't spend $3,000. I mean, not my money, but $3,000 is a lot to, I know the person earns it, but that just ticks me off that if they're being like, they have to get off GoDaddy for them to pay that just doesn't make any sense. So
that actually,
I found a portable company.
Yeah, that actually sounded pretty good because I had to do that a few years ago. We actually never did it and we found another way around it. But I mean, the quote started at $1,500 minimum.
Yeah.
Then you added all of the gigabyte transfer stuff. And they still wanted you to pay a per user cost to go to the hosted exchange because nobody wanted to do anything but the hosted exchange and they wanted it with their stuff. I'm like, okay, wait a minute. We're going to, you know, stay with what they have. It was just a nightmare. Now, I'm sure things are better now, but, you know, that was 2 years ago and that just, upset me to the point where I'm like, you know what? I don't want to talk to you anymore. My client's not going to be interested. And right. So they ended up doing their own deal where we retasked an old server and they just downloaded SharePoint Foundation.
Not SharePoint 2003. Good old school.
Yeah. And so they've got a half-baked SharePoint site. I mean, it's not great, but it's something, and it's not a, you know, huge monthly cost, and it's mainly for their internal stuff anyway. They don't really, you know, host a ton of stuff up there, and they're not accessing it from external sources.
No, well, I think that I had to have two solutions. One is the $100 a gig, which makes sense for some companies. But for this company that we're doing the cutover for right now, the girl didn't know this was going to be happening, the administrative person, and she built six really nice sites. And she goes, Lisa, this probably took me 30 hours. I said, right. So she's like, I'd rather just pay the migration fee, which those listening, you can call me if you want a referral. I believe it's 130 per site. So she had six.
Really?
So her, yeah. But they've got, you know, they've done this enough where they've got their systems down to do it very affordably. But remember, that includes just the standard stuff. We're not talking the bells and whistles that people might have.
Right.
That has a better, different quote. So I put that out to people, 130 for one site, which is awesome. But if you got six sites, that's times 130. And then if you got customizing and all the apps and all the other stuff. But honestly, Marvin, my people really don't have all that stuff. They just got files.
Right.
So you just download them to your computer. But she had special permissions and other little things. So that's covered in that 130.
Interesting. That's nice.
So that's a good idea. So for those that have to do a GoDaddy cutover, don't forget, it's not all in the mailboxes. Never forget to check their SharePoint and their OneDrive. And I think if you can correct me, those are the only three typical places where data needs to be off. Public calendars, maybe, and public contacts.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep, all of them.
Yeah, I love forgetting those. That's always fun. Where's our contacts? Oh, in the public? All right, let's go run back and get them.
Yeah.
I don't get any, though, of those.
All right, we may have to talk off the air afterwards about the SharePoint migration. I still have one customer where I'm hosting their SharePoint here in my office, and I want to get that migrated off. Yep.
Yeah. Well, actually, I'll be proud to say I found her in ASCII. I tell you that ASCII is becoming a little gold mine there for knowledge.
Yes, it is.
I don't mind talking about ASCII on the air. I've mentioned it before, but I just joined last June.
Yeah, I noticed. I've been there, I guess going on 2 years, and it's been well worth it. I get a lot of assistance there, and actually a lot of it is just simply sharing knowledge, and I get to use it for when I need boots on the ground right. In a city where I'm not, but I've got a customer office or something. So it's worked out great. I just call them up, and I don't think I've had a bad situation where a customer has complained about a tech that showed up.
Right.
And the tech hasn't, you know, none of them have tried to take my clients, which is, you know.
No. Maybe I should tell folks what ASCII is. I found out through many years ago, ASCII is like a business technical community / networking group. Is that right?
It is. If I remember correctly, it's the largest business community of independent managed service providers.
So I'm not a managed service provider.
Well, I understand, but that was the original intent of the group, was to be for managed service providers. However, it has allowed, you know, solo technicians, you know, but as long as you've got a business focused on business.
Right.
And as long as you're not, you know, trying to sell your wares or anything like that. Sure. But it's basically just a community of techs. And the group was actually, the reason I joined was, you know, one, to kind of see what it was about, but all of the member advantages, all the discounts, the additional discounts, I should say, that I got with, you know, all of my distributors, because I got, you know, you get put into the buying power of that group.
Right. Right.
And, you know, just for instance, now at the first order I did, I probably saved my member fee in that first order. Yeah.
Wow. That's a heavy discount. I've seen that before in the email threads that people say it's well worth it.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't buy anything like that. So I look through for those that are interested, just to let you know, this isn't a pitch for it, but if you want to check out ASCII and put down Marvin and Lisa as your referral people, we do get a little chunk of change, little commission. You still think that happens, Marvin?
I don't know. I've never asked.
Well, that's what I was told when I joined. They said there's a referral. But anyway, the point is that this email list has tons of information, and it's an email list when you join. So it's not like a forum, and it's not like a Facebook group. It's the email list. And
yeah, the email, I guess it's technically, we use it like a forum, but it's really just an email list.
Yeah, so part of the benefits is what he was saying is the discounts. As I joined and I'm like, well, there's really not a lot of discounts. So where else am I supposed to find value in this? I don't go to the meetings, which Marvin, you do go to the meetings, right?
I've gone to a couple, yes.
They happen to have a lot more on the East Coast. Then there's summits and there's speakers and all that stuff. And I'm trying to find a value in being an online member only. So what I'm finding is relationship building has become a little more important for me. And I've found a few people I can refer work to, and I'm getting inbound referrals from people too. Mostly because I don't think there's an Outlook person in the group.
Specific. They're not, really?
Outlook specific?
No, maybe not.
Yeah, that's maybe why. I don't know. I like that this girl I met does the SharePoint migration. That's my winner right there.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah. So let's roll it over to App River for a little bit. So Marvin and I are both... While we associate our businesses with App River. Marvin, I think you mentioned before the show that you do three different tiers with them, right?
I do two tiers. I do both the partner tier and the reseller tier.
Gotcha. So for those that are new to the show, App River is a sponsor of my show, and I've been with them 5 years. And interestingly, I've found all my sales to be so much better with Office 365 with App River as a partner because I'm a small business. I only do the partner plan. So the partner plan, here's how it works, is you get an account and you sell Office 365 for your clients. App River does all the billing, sales, and support. After that, if you get hired by the company to do extra stuff, that's fine, like I do. But otherwise, a lot of people, they go through my App River and I never talk to them again, but I still earn a commission on each sale because it's under my partner plan.
Right.
I get quarterly checks right now that are, you know, nice because I've been with them 5 years. Marvin, though, I think does that and the reseller. Do you want to talk about the reseller for a little bit?
So the reseller is basically what a lot of the larger companies will do, where all of the billing for the Office 365 is actually done by my business. Yep. And App River charges me, I bill my customer, and I handle all of the billing. And I'm also technically supposed to be the first line of contact for those customers because I'm the one selling the product to them. However, App River still will support those customers if they call direct.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they do.
I thought they couldn't.
No, they can. Oh, I mean, it's not something where, you know, it's not like I'm going to send them there for every little call, but it might be something where, you know, if it's something I don't have time to figure out, you know, or if it's, you know, if it's a little bit above me rather than have to deal with Microsoft, they'll deal with App River. Now, it's not something that they would like you to do on a regular basis. And I don't abuse it. I hope I don't abuse it. If you're listening, App River.
They do listen sometimes.
Well, they listen to you. That's for sure.
Yeah.
But it is. Yeah. Basically, as a reseller, that gives me the ability to charge what I want.
Right.
You know, so if I want to make more money by bundling it in with my monthly service agreement, right, I can do that. And I'll sell it as a complete mail package for them. And for one of my customers, it works out great because I not only sell the Office 365 mail product, but I also sell the CipherPost security mail along with that. And that customer, I think next year, is actually going to start buying their full Office subscription as part of that as well.
Nice. I've been itching towards the big sales too, Marvin. Yeah. Not just Exchange, but I'm starting to do the big one where before I didn't really care. And now I'm like, let's make more on the commissions because then that's a longer term commitment with me and my sale.
Yeah.
And I earn more. Yeah.
So
I didn't know that about the reseller, though. That's interesting. But I know you want to keep billable calls to you, though. But you're a managed service, so, you know, you don't really win if you do all the support, you know.
Well, yes and no. I mean, for the most part, most of my customers, once they're set up, I mean, you get the little calls every now and then. Hey, my password's not working, or I don't, you know, it's not a big deal.
No.
I haven't had a major issue with, you know, something going really, really bad.
Right.
However, there have been times where somebody calls, especially the Secure Mail product.
Yeah.
Because it's not, even though it's integrated into Outlook, I have customers that actually have to use it as a separate package on an iPad.
Oh.
So it's not linked together. So if somebody forgets something, mm-hmm. you know, and it's an issue, that's just something I just know right off the top of my head. I'm not really going to be able to troubleshoot that well. And I don't want to pretend that I can do it and then, you know, call App River in the background and then go back to the customer and, hey, I'm a Superman. You know, I'll just tell
them. No, I like saying no.
So I just tell them, look, you're paying a premium for support from me and from App River when you need it. But call me first and then I'll determine whether they need to go ahead.
I give them the rules, password resets and emergency issues while you're traveling or, you know, when I'm not available, call them first. They always do their best and then they know to send it back to me.
Right.
App River has sent me. I mean, here's what I love is that, you know, I still sell my support tickets even on top of their support because there's always things that are weird outside their scope. And that's why they're like my help desk for what I do.
Yeah.
It's not good for me. Yeah, I think they switched over to the CSP plan now too. So that it's been nice. I have my own portal now for everything.
Mm-hmm.
Where I can log in, but I'm still learning everything.
Yeah.
You know, every time I log into an Office 365 portal, it changes almost every day still.
Oh, yes.
Where's that button? Where's that? I don't know. They changed it so much. Just leave it alone.
They are. Yeah, they are making some changes and who knows? At least App River is doing a very good job of streamlining everything for us. So you go to your portal first.
Right.
And then you can do the guest admin and get in and do what you need to do. But going into the actual portal from Microsoft, they're changing that almost monthly in a sense.
It's too much. You know, I'm making a video tutorial / blog on Office 365 security because way too many people are getting phished. But you know, it's like calling, you know, going on the internet and getting the 800 number virus scam. People fall for it.
Yep.
Just today, another person fell for a phishing scam that didn't mean to. Like, don't do stuff on your phone. Don't click on links and put in your password. Pretty simple. And the phone is where they're getting caught now, too.
Yes.
Because you can't see, you can't float a mouse over, hold on, you can't float a mouse in the iPhone over a link to see if it's going to a bad site or not, like you can in Outlook.
Right.
You know, so anyway, I'm making this video. It'll probably be outdated in a month. Because they're going to change everything.
Sounds about right.
I know. And my blog will be out on the interwebs forever with wrong information.
Yeah.
That's how it rolls with me.
So based on that, have you been playing around in the new Security and Compliance Center?
Well, I've been kind of playing in it by accident. I found myself into a funnel of, I couldn't get out. I don't know where I was, Marvin, because I was doing this blog and I was following my own, like I was creating something. And I'm like, oh my God, where am I? I was in this thing called, you know what? It's called the Secure something. What's it called? Secure
Service. No, not Service Assurance.
No, hold on. It's called, it's a service area to check your security of Office 365. And I was wondering, is that even a real Microsoft site? And it is. It's just in their deep caves of
Did you security. Get to that through their, what is it, their data governance?
Oh, God, hold on. I was trying to go find it from this guy that sent it to me on Facebook.
I don't know. It's and oh, here's one thing I wish they would fix. Every time you hit one of those centers, it opens up a new window.
Oh, well, mine chokes up all the time and logs me out. And then has me log into another account. I can never figure out what account I'm logged in.
Well, especially since now they have that pop-up saying, hey, would you like us to remember your password so you don't have to put it in? And then you're logged in as a user.
You should see mine right now. It's rolling them. Let me go. I'm going to tell you where that spot was. And also, by the way, do you have your clients on two-step authentication now?
Actually, I don't. I have myself and my business on 2FA, but not my customers.
Okay. Well, I'm
my customers
to get
are still, in that mindset where I don't want to have to put a pin in on my cell phone to get my mail.
Right. But you know what, though? What I have my folks do is they get the app password and they put it in once. And they put it once in Outlook, and after that, they don't need it anymore. So they don't have to do that.
Yep, that's a way to do it.
Yeah. Okay, so this little thing is maybe this. Okay, here it is. It's called Office 365 Secure Score.
Oh, no.
That's in the service assurances area of security and compliance.
Okay, so I was right. So it was in that area, service assurance. Yeah.
Sorry, I had to go look it up. So literally, if you're new to Office 365, you can spend half a day in the security and compliance area. Oh, yeah. It's big. Yeah. But, you know, I've got a pretty bad score. But I did my best.
I don't even look at that. I'm not ready for that yet.
Well, here's my thing is I've got two-step on an MFA. I'm good enough, right?
Yep.
Yeah, and here they are on the secure score saying, like, you should have a 250. And I'm like, really? Yikes. I'm not there. I don't know what I'm doing wrong either, though. But
so I'm in a customer portal.
Okay.
My Office 365 secure score in that customer portal is 27.
I'm 68. I don't mind sharing.
But of course, I don't do anything in this customer site. So why would it get very high?
You know what? I don't even know how to get that high. And really, I mean, if you're going to be clicking on links for DocuSign, then it doesn't matter what your score is. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And
yeah, but here's one of the things, though. So when you look at, because if you go to that site and you see your score,
right,
and it tells you what your target score is, which is nowhere near the max score, because the max score, I don't know if you've noticed, the max score is 452.
Oh, God.
So no. I don't know who came up with a weird number like 452. Like, it couldn't be, you know, 0 to 100 or, you know, an even number.
They
like
could have made it 365.
That would have been at least explainable. And then they, you know, so they give you what your target score is. Yeah. And they tell you how many actions you can do to get to that score.
Oh, so God. Of course, there's a long list.
Yeah, it's enable MFA for your global admins, enable MFA for the users. But what's funny is I went down, and one of the things is review role changes weekly.
Right.
Well, who has time for that?
Mine's on low.
Who has time to check in weekly? Review mailbox forwarding rules. I'm not going to do that.
Guess what? Some company that has a help desk that has side work, and that's their side work, to go check the audit logs. That's not me. No. I wait till there's a problem or whatever.
You know, pay some kid $10 an hour to go in and check this every week.
But then, you know, the best part is, Marvin, he gets to say he's an Office 365 administrator. So
that's true.
That's how it goes.
And then go out into the real world and try to charge $100 an hour to be a network support guy.
And I just got a job offer, not offer, an opportunity. And this is really funny. The guy said, "Hey, Lisa, I have an Office 365 work at home opportunity."
Work at home opportunity.
What?
So did you say, "Oh, really? Is it better than my work at home opportunity?"
Hold on, I guess this one just kicks me because I wrote back. I was like, "Well, I'm already doing that or something." He didn't look at my profile good enough. It was on LinkedIn too.
You should have asked for the flyer.
What's that?
You should have asked for like the whole package, the flyer. Send me over all the marketing, because I mean, what was it? An opportunity? You know, make $2,000 to $5,000 a week.
No, it was to be a Microsoft concierge.
Oh,
which is just really an Office 365 help desk person, right? Okay. I mean, that concierge doesn't mean anything. That's a title for help desk.
Right.
Right. So, yeah, I must have deleted this guy, but hold on. Let me go see if it's in my archive. It was really funny. And then he goes, and I said, "Well, look, if you go Google Outlook expert, that's me." And he was like, "That is you," or something like that. And I said, "Yeah, so I'm already doing it." And then he goes, "So are you interested?" Maybe. Well, here's the thing is that, Marvin, if I slowed down, call that girl to just a side hustle and went and did this concierge, just think how much I could learn from being in the machine.
What, the Microsoft machine?
Being in it, just even for a couple months, then take it out. You know what I mean? I mean, any of us could do that.
I'm not going to learn anything in there.
I don't know. I actually have my $10 help desk that I do, you know, and one of my clients is a Microsoft third level engineer.
Okay, well, once you get to third level, that's different.
Well, I know, but I mean, I'd like to kind of just understand their mentality of how things work because I deal with it on the outside. So it'd be like a mission to do it, but I'd make probably $14 an hour.
Here's their mentality. They hired some dark web scrub to send out a robocall to say, I'm calling from the Microsoft technical department, so that you can tell your customer to hang up on them and call Microsoft for real to see if, and for Microsoft to say, oh no, that was a scam, but we'll help you for half the price.
I know. Oh man, this stuff is killing me, Marvin.
So here's a question I have.
Okay.
This is, I don't know if it's not really that technical, but I just wanted to know if you had had this. So I have a customer that still has a lot of Outlook 2010 installations.
Okay.
And for some reason, mailboxes just stopped allowing users to change their out of office message if the technician on site went to go reconfigure a workstation for a new user, it wouldn't connect. And we found out that even though the customer had upgraded the Exchange portion of their Office 365, they had gone from the 2007 Exchange to the 2013 Exchange, that just out of the blue, Auto Discover stopped working.
You know what? What I've learned from Auto Discover with people that have local servers, the local DNS needs to be updated too.
Yep.
So the question here is this, are they in the cloud or still on a server?
Well, they're in the cloud. They had an Exchange server like 7 years ago.
Right.
The network's been redesigned since then. There's no evidence of an Exchange server on that network anymore. And hasn't been for, you know, that 7 years. But it was just funny that they had been working just fine and just bloom, it stopped working. And to fix it, what we did is we just simply put in a local DNS pointing Auto Discover outside because it was just the weirdest thing. And, you know, You call AppRiver, and it was funny because the guys at the time, they're like, well, we don't know why that would have stopped, but it was just weird.
Yeah, I had that E5 migration last year, and it was supposed to be so easy. And then that stupid local DNS really effed me up, man. I spent hours just grueling. Why won't it set up in Outlook, right? I went to a few different machines.
Right.
Finally, I might have been with AppRiver on that to figure it out. But we finally figured out it was a local DNS, and of course, some local IT company managed it. So I told the client, we'll just set them all up manually. And I just did, it was back when I was doing manual migrations, mostly. And the only big problem was on Monday, the IT guy just had to put in the new Auto Discover record.
Yeah.
That was it.
So it was funny because the tech that was on site, it was funny because he actually had suggested that.
Yeah.
And at the time, I'm thinking, I haven't had to do this for any of my other clients. I don't know why we would need it. And I asked him to do a little bit more research just so I could understand. Because at first I thought, why would Auto Discover have any bearing on whether a person can set up their out of office?
I don't know. Do you know what broke for me the other day? I can't change my view settings. It's grayed out. I went to the interwebs and I found out one other person on a Microsoft site has the same problem. And Microsoft replied back, there's a bug that'll be released on the 28th. That's didn't even hit, but these little tiny things, these updates are breaking things all the time now. Just little things, Marvin. That's why it's so frustrating.
Yeah.
You know, what just cracks me up is I just did a, I sold an 8-hour ticket to a company that just wants simple support. They wanted me to do fresh Office 365, no migration. The client says at the end, yes, I want full documentation, how to set up all of this on everybody's computers and their phones. No. That would take me a 25-page book because I have to do the what ifs. What if this goes bad? Then you got to do that. I just, you can give them basic instructions and then say, call me.
I was going to say, right? give them a basic, yeah. A basic package for what? $5,000?
Oh, no, it's $900 for 8 hours, dude. I'm talking, you know, these are the kind of calls I love. They're just little ones. But at the end, he wants documentation. I'm like,
well, I would say you give him documentation for $5,000.
Okay, gotcha. No, I'm going to tell him that's why you hired me to do that work. Right?
Yeah.
But here's basics, but I always have problems. So try it. And if not, then I'm not going to email you to troubleshoot it. I need to just remote it and do it. And that's when you pull in other people to help sometimes. Yeah. Like UpRiver. The UpRiver folks, what I love about them is that they are handling these kind of calls all day long. So I don't handle them all day long. So I'm not in the field in the trenches like they are when they know their little host up file updates and stuff they do and their little stuff. I love it.
All right.
Good. Take it on. Keep it going, buddies.
Yep. UpRiver. I'll release a little bit of a nugget. It's not a secret because I did mention it on my last show, but I'm going to be interviewing somebody from UpRiver probably in a week or two. I don't know exactly who. And I don't know what we'll be covering, but got some sort of interview coming with UpRiver.
Awesome. I've had my rep. I don't know who your rep is. Mine's Steve Harris.
Steve Harris is on the same team as my rep, Robin Phillips.
I don't know Robin, but we've exchanged an email. Most of these folks have been there a long time. Yes. They're all in this little town called Gulf Breeze. And I Gulf think Breeze. They're all.
Yep. Did you see my picture when I was there?
I think so. Yep. I was wondering you got there.
I was at the mothership. Well, I had a customer open an office in Pensacola, which is right across the bridge. So
I thought you were a celebrity to them and they paid to have you come.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I actually had to double check that. I was like, so when am I coming? I was like, Marvin's a big deal down there in Gulf Breeze. No, it's, but all their folks there are long-term. I think the founders are from there or something. It's just real like the hometown heroes.
I can tell you this. They are making an impression there. The client that I set up is actually in a building that the owners of UpRiver, they have partnered with the area, Pensacola, Gulf Breeze. The building is actually part of a, I don't know if it's a quad or something. It's a group of buildings that they are revamping.
Oh.
And UpRiver is a huge part of this building. For instance, I hope I'm not saying anything wrong, but they, you know, they have their own internet service now as part of this building.
Nice.
And they are going to redo it to where it's, you know, shared office space and they're, you know, it's right in the middle of downtown. So UpRiver is
right?
Yeah, they are right. They are invested heavily in the Pensacola area. So Pensacola and UpRiver are going to be a big deal here soon.
Well, I've already got them slated to buy Call That Girl.
Really?
They don't know it yet. Maybe they'll find out through this show. Everything I'm doing, Marvin, is guiding them to want to just purchase me so I can just work for them and bring all my solid gold nuggets to them. Oh, so I'm just announcing it. Well, you know what? When you're a business like mine, I got to think of bigger things. So I want someone to buy me.
Right.
You know, I'm like, I'm for sale. I'm not that expensive, you know, and that gives me the luxury of doing other things. I don't know. I'm turning 50 soon, Marvin. I got to do other stuff, right? I could own a trailer down. What?
No comment.
I could own a trailer in Gulf Breeze. It's a lovely community.
No, you don't want a trailer in Florida.
Hurricanes?
Yeah, you don't want that. Now, a bungalow.
I would probably keep my Vegas apartment because it's so awesome. Yeah.
But just get a little bungalow and then, you know, that'll be your your winter home, and Vegas will be your summer home.
Well, Vegas is going to be the winter home. Florida is the summer home. I know it doesn't make sense. It's 115 degrees here every day.
But it's a dry heat, right?
Who cares? It's hot. I hate it. All right, Marvin, what else we got to talk about here? Let me see my notes. I think we covered everything, kind of. We didn't talk about pricing, but we can talk about that another show. I don't know.
Prices are good. They know it.
Yeah, right. If you don't know, look it up. For those that, let's see. Have you joined my Office 365 Facebook group yet, Marvin?
I'm in something.
Yeah, I put you in a group a long time ago, but you're not online enough.
Oh, I'm online. I just
not in my group.
Which, let's see. You know, I got put in a couple of other groups that I didn't ask to be put in.
Well, I'll tell you about the groups I run.
I'm in your IT business owners group.
Yep. That is an up and coming tech group that is getting some leeway there. The other one is the Office 365, which actually is a really good group of international technicians. I try to vet everybody pretty carefully, Marvin.
Right.
And I don't know if you're in there, so let me go see.
I don't think I am.
No, well, it says you're a member.
Really?
It's never participate.
Okay, no. It's not on my list here.
I'll send you a link.
Where's my thing for groups? That's how much groups. How can I get to groups?
I don't know. I'll put it in your Facebook chat. So, and the other one isn't so hot. It's the Outlook group. But I mean, here's what I like about the groups is that, man, when I'm in a pickle and I need troubleshooting, I put it out to these groups and these techs are all over it. They're all just, they can't wait to help you fix it.
Right.
And this is not just my group, but the IT Bug group. And I noticed it in ASCII too. It's like you start a thread and people are so helpful until it's resolved or there's has to be another solution. You know
what's funny is I like that. And I don't like that because part of the time I'm thinking, some of you people, how do you have all this time to respond so quickly? I mean, I love it, the fact that you ask a question and you're going to get answers right away, or you're going to get questions for clarification and they're going to say, I've actually had situations where I've put something on there and like within 5 minutes, somebody's calling my office.
I know. And they want to help. I wonder that too. How am I so available? But honestly, my day is like scattered with my home appointments and stuff I do. And I have I'm online all the time, but I'm not, but I am. That's how it is now, I think.
Yeah.
Depends on where you put your attention, but my Office 365 group is really not, it's almost got 900 people, but it's not busy. So it's only there like really when people need a little help. I like it. I don't even have a moderator. It's just me.
Okay.
That works good. But the other one is bigger. It's got 1,200 people and it's like 600 posts a day. So you can never tell.
Holy cow. I'm in a bunch of groups I didn't know I was in. Yep. There it is. Office 365.
God. Well, I'll tag you on this one when I post it in the groups.
All right.
So and for those listening on PodNugs Pro or on the Call That Girl show, I will put, and Marvin can put the links also for these Facebook groups. They're very helpful. And we've been building a really good technical community. The Office 365 is international. It has Exchange server admins, federation level people. I mean, it's really strong. The questions some of these people ask, I can't even look at. They confuse me. The Outlook group is just for basic Outlook stuff. And then the IT Bog is for business owners. And then maybe we'll throw out a link for the ASCII also.
Yep, I was going to say, we'll do the Facebook and the ASCII.
Yep, and the ASCII, there is a fee. I won't quote the fees because people might have different ones, but you know, there is a charge and it's not cheap. But I think as you get to be a business owner, you have to start investing in knowledge and education. And I found that that's, to me, a little different than the Facebook group in terms of, you know, value, even though the Facebook group is free.
Here's the thing. You're going to get so much more business stuff out of ASCII because it's not just, I know I mentioned the discounts that you get from your distributors, but you know, there's an opportunity to get, you know, business insurance, health right. insurance at discounts through that you're not going to get in some of these other groups. So there's a lot more opportunity for business things that you need help with. And
And that's the other thing I was going to say is the Facebook group is not even near the level of the Ask You, but it's good. The IT business one has some vendor discounts too, but they're not like steep ones for MSP, you know, level. It's just different. But they all can play together nicely.
Listen, everything helps. The Facebook groups are great because there are people who just like to be active there and, you know, have the same knowledge. And especially since it's a closed group, you can kind of, you know, keep out the riffraff, you know, the wannabe pretenders, you know, those man in the van type, you know, guys.
The riffraff. Yeah. Well, let me tell you, there's some people that do get booted from that group. That's no joke. All right, Marvin, you want to close your half of the show with anything special?
Yeah, I'll just say thank you, everyone, for listening and subscribing to Podnuts Pro. And enjoyed the time here with Lisa doing a little catch up, and we'll have to find a way to do this, you know, in a time shorter than a year.
Right. We can do a quarterly debriefing.
We can do something like that.
Save our little stories.
Yeah.
Before the show, Marvin and I were talking and we were like, how should we start it? And we go, let's just start talking. Like, who knows? We could spend a half hour prepping for the beginning.
Yeah.
Excuse the beginning. It's not typical. I usually have an intro. You probably do too, but yeah, we're all tech friends here. Who cares?
I don't have an intro.
I try to. And this show here is going to go right to podcast. I'm going to skip my intro because of us. And it's going to go right to us talking. It'll be out tonight. And by the way, today is November 30th. Those are listening.
All right.
Man, well, I don't have anything else to close with. I'll have all the notes out, same as Marvin. And if anybody needs me for Outlook and Office, you can email me, lisa@callthatgirl.biz. If you want me to help you with SEO and marketing, I have 4-hour tickets, which are cool, to just help you learn it. Or I can do some things for you. Or I can do a full SEO yearly package now.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. That's some serious SEO loving because I love it.
All right. And if you want to catch me over at podnuts.com, the name of the show is Podnuts Pro. And basically, it is a podcast to help you make your business better, smarter, and faster. And you can email me at marvin@podnuts.com. And you can follow us on the Twitter @PodnutsPro. We're on the Twitter.
I'm on the Twitter too, and no one even cares.
I just gotta say it because I figure I gotta try, you know.
That's right. Hey, promotions. Try. You gotta promote yourself.
Yeah. All right. And so I'm gonna end off my portion of the show by doing usual customary. Until next time. Holla.
All right, gang, that's it. See you next show. Bye bye.
Hey, this is Martin Abando from Geeksters on the Podnuts Network. Thank you so much for listening to the show right now and supporting the Podnuts Network. We can't do it without you. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, something that tickles your fancy you want to ask us about, you can reach out to us at geeksters@podnuts.com. You can always listen to us. We're going to be here all the time trying to figure out what's going on with the world of computers. Hey, don't forget to be grown out there. Thanks, guys.